We have entered into the great season of Lent. Tomorrow is the first Sunday. We will go with Jesus into the desert for 40 days. We have already begun, but we're still in these days after Ash Wednesday. So we're still getting a sense of how to make this journey fruitfully. Lent is not a season of joyful celebration, but we have something to celebrate today. That is the return of our men's choir. This is the first time we have our music director and the men's choir back in full force, at least the young version of the men's choir. So it should give us great joy to be able to resume having liturgical music. Well, of course, the young men were serving us often during this past year, those who were over 20 or 21, old enough to be able to come out of their houses. But now we have some of the younger ones, the teenagers. In fact, technically, they're still not supposed to come out, but we got a special clearance from Barangay Talon 4 and from Barangay Talon 2 to allow them to come for the rehearsals and now to serve in the Mass. So that's not the theme today, but I have to mention at the beginning that we're very happy to be able to have a full choir. In fact, you might think it's a bigger choir than it really is. They're spread out. They're taking up a lot of space because of the safety protocols, but there are how many? 10? 12? Some are missing. Anyway, that's why we're rejoicing, even though it's Lent. Now let's turn to the theme that is chosen for today. I mentioned it at the beginning. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. It's Jesus' words at the end of the Gospel. This Gospel passage is about the conversion of Levi, the tax collector, or Matthew. The conversion of a tax collector. The theme, though, is not Jesus' words to Levi. It is Jesus' words to the Pharisees and the scribes who are complaining about Levi. So that's not how Jesus called Levi. He didn't say, "I'm coming to call sinners." He told that to the Pharisees. What he said to Levi was, "Follow me." So let's back up a little bit. Not start with the end of the Gospel, but let's go to the beginning of the Gospel and see how this conversion story really unfolds. In fact, before we go to the conversion story, let's think a little bit about what has happened in these last 3 days. Started with Ash Wednesday, we were called to repentance, we marked ourselves with ashes, we started prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Then we got a lesson about the decision that has to be made, choice for life or choice for death. Then we had the call to fasting. In other words, some of the very fundamental principles of the spiritual life and of the Lenten journey have been laid out for us. But today, we don't get fundamental principles. We don't get the theory of how it's supposed to work. We get an example, which might be even better. Because it's one thing to have someone come and say, okay, prayer, fasting, almsgiving. It's another thing to see someone whose life actually changes. A witness. Sometimes that's more powerful than a sermon, an instruction, a teaching. Sometimes just seeing someone whose life has changed can mean much more to us. So that's what the liturgy gives us. An example. Okay, so let's look at what happens with Levi. It starts with Levi sitting at the customs post. Now, there's nothing wrong with sitting. You're all sitting right now. But we can take this sitting as symbolic of his spiritual condition. He's not just sitting in his customs post. He's sitting in sin. He's stuck in sin. I've often mentioned this to people who ask whether something is a sin or not. You know, there are actions that are sins that we fall into out of weakness. But there are also conditions that we choose to remain in, and that's much worse. Classic example is couples who live together without marriage. The traditional description of that is they're living in sin. It's not just that they fell, but their whole lifestyle is in the condition of sin. Well, that's Matthew, a Levite. He's sitting in sin. He's stuck there. He's decided to be in a sinful lifestyle. Something like it's not simply that he's done bad things. His way is bad. It's like someone who, it's not someone who cheats at business. The whole business is corrupt. It's like a drug dealer or somebody who's in the illegal gambling business. I mean, the whole thing is wrong. He's sitting in sin. Okay. What happens? It's not Levi's idea that he could change. It's Jesus' idea. He comes to him and says, "Follow me." God wants us to be free from this condition of sin. It doesn't start with us. We didn't decide that Ash Wednesday would be this week. It just happened. God gave us Ash Wednesday. God gave us Lent and said, "Okay, come, get up out of the sin condition." And we realize, it's Lent. We better get up and change. So we're sitting in sin like Levi. Jesus says, "Follow me." Lent says, "Follow me." What happens next? And leaving everything behind, he got up and followed him. Sitting, call, getting up and following and leaving everything behind. The summary of conversion. Now, when he says leaving everything behind, it means leaving his sinful life behind, the old man, the things that should be left behind. The fact that he gives a great banquet shows that he didn't really give up everything because he had enough to put on a banquet. He still had his friends, he still had his house, he still had his money, and he used it. Okay, that's the next step. But let's just think a little bit about this leaving everything behind and following. This happens when we respond to the call. It doesn't happen simply because we know the rules. Let me put this in light of what some of us studied this past week. We finished our series on the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are not the beginning. They're not the first thing that God does. In fact, if you think of the story of the Israelites who were in slavery in Egypt, they were sitting in slavery. The first thing that God does is not the commandments. The first thing he says is, "Come up out of Egypt." He sends Moses and says, "Come on, get out of here. Let's pass through the Red Sea. Let's go. Let's leave everything behind and follow the Lord." And then after they're out there in the desert, that's when God gives them the Ten Commandments. See, the first thing is that God calls us to follow him. And our response is, "Okay, I'll follow you." And then he teaches us some of the rules that help us along the way. That's why Jesus doesn't come to Levi and say, "You're a sinner, and I've come to call sinners." He doesn't come and say, "Thou shalt not steal." He says, "Follow me." You see the difference? It's a personal appeal. It's something that touches Levi's heart, not just his idea of what's right and wrong. "Follow me." Oh, here's somebody who really wants me with him. "Follow me." So that's why Levi can leave everything behind and follow him. The next step, this is where Levi puts his money where his mouth is. Or he puts into practice what he has in his heart. He gives a great banquet for him in his house and for a large crowd of tax collectors. He goes from sitting to being called, to getting up and leaving everything behind, to giving. You see, on one extreme, he's sitting. At the other extreme, he's giving. He's no longer taking. He's no longer cheating. He's no longer sitting. He's up, moving, and giving. That's conversion. Conversion. And it happens because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Which brings us to the theme. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus doesn't have to say that to Levi, because Levi is already following. He says it to the Pharisees. The Pharisees raise an objection. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Why do you call people who are sitting? Who's sitting now? The Pharisees and the scribes. They're sitting. They're sitting in judgment. They're sitting in self-righteousness. They're sitting in pride. They're stuck. And so and they didn't hear the call, follow me. They're not following. So Jesus has to explain it to them. I came like a physician for sick people. Healthy people don't need a physician. Righteous people don't need a savior. I came to call not the righteous to repentance, but sinners. Why does he say it to them? He's trying to get them to realize that if they don't recognize their sin, then they're not included in his call. He wants them to feel the exclusion that they are putting on themselves. They're isolating themselves from the great banquet because they're sitting in sin, the sin of self-righteousness. The theme now is set before us. I have not come to call the righteous. It sounds like a negative thing to say, I've not come for the righteous. Well, it's not negative if we identify ourselves as sinners. I have come for sinners. I have not come for the righteous. At the beginning of Lent, we acknowledge that we are sinners. We put ashes on our heads. We take on a penitential lifestyle. We increase our prayer. We increase our charity. We say, we are sinners. Lord, have mercy. Be merciful to us, O Lord. We want to respond to your call. And when we do that, we are accepting the same call that Jesus gave to Levi. Follow me. Follow me. Lent is a renewal of the call to follow him. And what we're doing in this liturgy, what we're doing in these days of preparation for the season of Lent, we are responding to that call. So, I said, it's not a joyful season. It's not a season of joyful celebration, but there is a joy that comes with responding. It's the joy that comes with giving. Levi rejoices to be able to put on a banquet because he has received the call. Well, we rejoice to be able to pray and fast and give alms because we have received the call. That's what we're doing. That's what we have begun in Lent. Let's go forward with a firm conviction. A firm conviction, not just that we are sinners, but the firm conviction that God is calling us to follow him.